What's up, everybody? New single from the Slackademics out, this one called Our Own Island.
Nothing to phone home about. You're just waiting for Godot. We're on our own little island. Tracy was in the sand.
This vibey reggae track is written by our drummer, Josh. Good job, Josh. I love this song, and honestly, it might be the most fun song we have to play live. Sadly, that doesn't help me understand what the lyrics are about or anything like that. Please give the track a listen and a share on the streamer of your choice. As I've mentioned before, the new Slackademics album, Pass Fail, comes out in April, but you can already pre-order it. Just $10 on our Bandcamp page. And the next Bandcamp Friday is March 6th, which means we don't have to pay Bandcamp any of their cut. On that capitalistic note, let's listen to the soothing sounds of one of our trumpet players, Max. Max, Max.
But there's no one, no one to see you through.
Yeah, I think
I remember that, bud. I was 9 years old too.
Yeah,
core memory unlocked, man.
But I think in the music video, there's
some butt
interpolation of him in the waterfall.
That's not an interpolation.
Did I do it?
You can't keep using. Well, you can do whatever you want.
A broken clock's right two times
every
day.
If you use it wrong long enough, it'll just become correct. Hi, I'm Mark.
Hey, I'm Nicole.
And this is Never Mind the Music.
What are we talking about today, Mark?
How are we supposed to start the sidetrack?
Is that right? I guess.
We're sidetracking because many of our sidetracks lately that we've been doing have been guests.
Yeah.
And then it's the who are we talking, but there's nobody here.
No.
Unless we bring my dog downstairs.
I love it. Sometimes I say, it's a sidetrack day.
It's a sidetrack. Yeah. we're still playtesting that, everybody. But yeah. We just had our conversation about Shaggy. We just had our conversation about one of the great awful people as a character in a song, which is the main character of It Wasn't Me by Shaggy.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it would be fun, maybe in quotation marks, to talk about the most unlikable protagonists in music history. So I have no idea who you've got. We each said we would bring three songs.
I have three songs.
And each tried to have different kind of mini categories that we didn't share with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I gave myself rules for how I picked what was in bounds. Did you do anything like that? Or is this exemplifying our difference in work style?
No, I just like pick songs that like, I like the songs, but, and even I like the singers, but these songs made me like, not like them that much.
Ick factor. So
yeah.
So this is like the Doors movie making me not like Val Kilmer for
yes,
a while.
We talked about that.
That might have been on a past.
I'd love to know what turned you back on to Val Kilmer. Like you didn't like him for a while, but you came around.
Maybe Sting Tombstone. I like Doc Holliday and Tombstone.
That's fair.
It's not that different. The rules I didn't create in elaborate, but like I only pick songs I like.
Mm-hmm.
So douchey characters and songs that I'm not vibing with don't count.
Yeah.
I tried not to pick one where they're obviously playing a character. And this you could have completely gone in a different direction with. But like Oingo Boingo's Little Girls or Possum Kingdom.
Mm.
You know, he's like Little Girls. He's like probably a pedophile in that song. Possum Kingdom by Toadies. Love that song. He's playing some kind of a demonic, like that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Like they're embodying some terrible thing.
I will treat you well, my sweet angel. So help me, Jesus.
And I also try not to pick ones where the point of the song is how bad the person is, in the sense that, like, Don't Stand So Close to Me by The Police is like about the agony of this guy who's a high school student is in love with him. Like, the point of that is for us to look at and be kind of grossed out by that.
Inside her, there's longing. This girl's an open page, bookmarking. She's so close now. This girl is half his age. Don't stand.
Or Nothing Better by the Postal Service. Do you know that song?
No. Oh,
do you know the Postal Service?
I know the Postal Service.
It's, it's not one of their hits or whatever, but it's a duet. And it's one of those love duet kind of situations where a breakup duet where the guy's verse is, how wronged, how could you leave us, right? And then here's what really happened is her verse. It's kind of like the Human League song, Don't You Want Me, right?
Okay.
It's like, actually, you were a huge asshole.
So let me help you
And so the point of the song is, oh my God, actually, he's such a huge asshole.
Right. You went for things that are more like nuanced and like it's up to interpretation more.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I tried. Yet I still included the song clips because they're cool songs. Podcast editor's prerogative, I guess.
And it also seems from just from the examples you've just already pitched that you have more obscure songs than I do. Mine are very well-known, very pop songs.
I think I have chosen no obscure songs.
Okay, well, that's... Wow, I
think I am using... Wait, is Don't Stand So Close to Me an obscure song?
No,
Boingo Boingo Little Girls?
Yes, obscure.
Really?
Yes.
Do you know that song at all?
No.
I love little girls. They make me... Oh my God, no. I'm going to play a clip. It's so good.
I think you should just use yourself as the clip.
It's not even... I should just actually try to do Danny Elfman. I love little girls. They make me...
This is great.
You don't know that song?
No,
Isn't it a nightmare too?
I'm going to isolate that dialogue and make it
Toadie's Possum
ringtone.
Kingdom. You know that song?
Do
you want to die?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Okay.
It's about like a vampire or he's a murderous monster or demon or ghost or something.
You know, Mark, you talk about vampires a lot. You don't realize you do it.
Once in the entire scope of our relationship definitely counts as a lot, I guess.
Okay, I have great songs. I'm really ready.
You want to go first?
Yes.
Do you have a kitschy category for this one?
No, I mean, I don't really have kitschy categories. I just, it's unlikable because it's like dishonest and immoral. That's like,
okay. Most dishonest and immoral.
Well,
go ahead.
I can come up with a kitschy. Hold on. I can do it. This, a song by an artist that represents a self-concept that is so unlike the self-concept we relate to of this artist right now.
That's a really catchy category. I love it. Really, I love it.
That was good. Smooth.
Okay, can you say it again? Say that again. I didn't quite process that stream of consciousness.
Let's try it a different way. This song breaks the stereotype we have of this artist as a very likable, accessible person.
Got it.
Okay.
Love it.
So it's Ariana Grande, Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored. That's the name of the song.
Break Up With Your Girlfriend.
I'm Bored.
I'm Bored?
That's the name of the song. Can we like pull up a clip of it?
Nice.
It's a great song. Like, it's a great song, but it is gross and problematic, and you don't like her. Like, you don't see Glinda the Good Witch here when she's singing the song. It's like a very different side of her, and I don't like it. I want to feel empathy for Ariana Grande. She's been through a lot with the Mac Miller stuff. Like, I just want to, like, hold on to her and keep her safe in, like, a Cynthia Erivo sort of way.
What if the girlfriend is Cynthia Erivo? Does that make it way worse?
It makes it way worse because they're friends. You know, they're like more than friends. They're
What if the girlfriend is her sister or her best friend?
Right? Like it just
It's a villain
yucky
character a little bit. Yeah,
it is.
And that is against type.
there's this love, like the psychological layers of the song is really interesting to me too. There's like a lot of narcissistic entitlement that like the world and egocentrism, like the world revolves around her, consequences towards other people don't matter, which is so like not Ari as a human.
Yeah.
I say Ari because like we're close. Also, the song's interesting because of this like meta awareness, like it knows it's not likable. And that's like part of the bit, I think. But still, it's just like an unlikable protagonist or unlikable storyteller in a song in a way that's so counter what we want Ariana Grande to be, which is like a little likable pixie.
Sure.
And this is not it, especially when you listen to the lyrics.
Love it.
Yeah.
But it's a cool song.
It's just, it's a great song. It's a great pop song.
All right. The award for OK Dude, Stop Looking at Me Like That goes to Bryan Adams, 1991, Everything I Do It For
Oh,
You.
Oh, gosh. Walk the wire for you. Yeah, I die
for you. You know it's true. Everything I do. All right. So it's actually kind of a relatable sentiment, but it's just too much, man.
It's too schmaltzy for you.
Well, it's just too, like, you feel when he does it, die for you. By the way, remember when I talked about the sad button on our mailbag? That is that chord, the minor four, die for you. It's just so emotional. It's like you feel like he actually kind of wants to.
He wants to die for you?
And
like, tell me I can.
It's
like,
too much. It's too much. It's funny. Scary. It makes me, I would be scared if I was the presumably lady he's singing to, but also if I were his friend, I would be concerned. And I would be calling
somebody.
Yeah,
I think that that's it. Like, if you were the lady, I mean, this song came out, I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
We're talking like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Not Men in Tights.
I stopped myself. Some mental gymnastics there.
Somehow that has already come up in this podcast.
But I like loved this song because I was like, I want him to die for me. Like, I want to be that girl.
That's right.
But I think from the perspective of like, you see your friend acting this way towards a potential love interest, you have to like...
Or like, you're his parents or something.
Right.
You're like,
Like, let's rein it in.
Yeah. It's just too... It makes him unlikable because it's like you fear for him, but also it feels performative.
Him. Yeah. Performative, I mean, he's in the waterfall. You know? He's like singing it, you know, in the music video. Yeah.
Kevin Costner in The Waterfall.
But
right?
Like, yeah, and his
Bryan
butt,
also is?
Butt. Yeah, I think...
I remember that butt. I was 9 years old, too.
Yeah,
core memory unlocked, man.
But I think in the music video, there's
some butt.
Interpolation of him in The Waterfall.
That's not an interpolation.
Did I do it?
You can't keep using... Well, you can do whatever you want.
A broken clock's right two times
every
day.
If you use it wrong long enough, it'll just become correct.
Right.
Right?
It'll be an interpolation of the bit.
Good. That actually works. Yes. All right, you're up. What do you got?
Okay. I wish I had witty categories. You're so good at a witty categories. This is unlikable. It's a passive aggressive performance by a lilty British singer-songwriter. That's the best I can do.
The award goes to...
Lily Allen and Smile.
All right. Lily Allen, famously sister of Alfie Allen from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Theon Greyjoy. That's his...
She's
his big sister.
I loved him. He's the one that got his dick cut off, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That was sad.
I think the character...
Yes.
I don't think Alfie
It wasn't
Allen.
Like method.
What's the song?
Lily has Smile.
Smile. Okay, yeah. At first, when I see you cry, it makes me smile. Yeah, it makes me smile. At worst, I feel bad for a while, but then I just smile. I go ahead and smile whenever you see me. Track 11 on this album.
It's called
Alfie, by the way.
The album?
Track 11 on this album.
It's called
All Right
Alfie.
Still, it's called Alfie. Probably, it's not about the Alien TV show. It's probably about her brother.
That's cute.
Cute. Okay, so tell me about this song. What makes her unlikable?
I just like the juxtaposition of like the cheeriness and like the repressed anger. I like that as a convention in the songwriting, but you don't really like her as a character. I like Lily Allen quite a bit, but as a character in this song, it just seems like this downward social comparison that feels yucky to me, and that she's like celebrating someone else's misery even though he wronged her. It isn't a good look, and it always stood out to me as being a song I liked. I enjoyed the song, but it didn't make me like Lily Allen anymore. It seemed like cruel.
She should be better than that.
Yeah, it just seemed like a cruel and unnecessary, and just like schadenfreuden of like watching someone else suffer that I'm never a big fan of.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting because the song is so lighthearted that it's just like making light of someone else's misfortune. And yeah. That's not a vibe I really like.
Yeah.
As an empathetic it's a tough human.
Look.
It's a tough look.
Tough look.
But a great song. And I'll stand by, the whole album is so good. I listened to the whole album again, like in preparation for this. I'm trying to like, quote, be more prepared, quote, be like Mark more, and like listen to the music. And I was reminded of like how awesome this whole album is and how talented Lily Allen is and how much I hate her in this song.
Oh, so, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's vindictive and it, like masquerades as empowerment, this like vindictive nature.
Yeah.
It's just, that's wow. not empowerment. Empowerment's
it's unbecoming.
Not it's unbecoming.
Unbecoming, Lily.
Right?
So that's but nice. Not obviously a character, right? Is it obviously right. a pastiche or a parody? I don't know.
We
maybe,
don't know.
Maybe more. So that's, mm-hmm. it would fit my criteria, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The OK Mark Just Learned About Toxic Positivity Award. And I don't remember what episode that was. Seal episode or something?
Yeah.
You explained what that
probably,
meant.
Probably, yeah.
And 1988, talked about him before. Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. Look at me, I'm happy.
So I know we talked about how Bobby McFerrin is secretly amazing in another episode.
Like, so amazing.
But people hate on this song. Mm-hmm. I actually really like it. I like the kind of a cappella reggae vibe.
Yeah.
It's really cool. But man,
yeah.
Hey, you're homeless. You're going to get evicted. Whatever. Don't worry.
Just don't worry.
Everything's going to turn out like
fine.
This to me is super toxic positive. Mm-hmm. If you knew this guy,
yeah,
this guy would be intolerable.
Yes.
He's like, you're getting a divorce. It's all good. Cheer up, man. You'd be like, bro, my legs just got cut off. Don't tell me everything's going to be good. A little too much silver lining going on in this song.
Yeah, it's not real empathy. And you worry about people like that. I always worry about
people.
What
are they hiding?
Yeah,
like, what's in there for real?
What's like when they're alone?
Well, it's like you can't confront the reality. It's too hard.
Yeah, you just like mask.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I think masking is an appropriate skill. But I feel like for this song,
you need balance.
You need balance. And it's unlikable because like it's so not like giving empathy to the human condition. Like, no,
yeah.
Sometimes like life is very hard. The end.
Totally.
Like, full stop.
Yeah.
And so
there's a few songs that I considered also for this category. I really wanted
category.
To do. No, I really want. This was very much. I just learned about toxic positivity.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Float On by Modest Mouse.
Yeah.
It's like, I crashed into a cop car. Whatever.
Whatevs.
But that song is just a little more nuanced and abstract. So
yeah.
it's less, it hits you less hard. And Pharrell, Happy.
Uh-huh.
Except I don't like that song that much.
You don't like it.
I kind of don't like that. I like Pharrell. I like Pharrell, especially as a producer.
The hats are great.
He's got good hats. I kind of don't love that song. And so it kind of didn't make the list.
It would have been better if CeeLo sang
it. It's one thing for me to not like the protagonist of a song that I don't love that much because it's easy to hate, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking of this more as like a villain you love to hate in a movie, right? And some people I think don't like Don't Worry, Be Happy, but I do. So,
thinking of like Bobby McFerrin as a villain in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
A toxic positivity villain trope.
Maybe. That's not a villain trope, really, yet. People should explore that.
You can have that idea.
Yeah.
You can take it.
It's like a character trope, the kind of happy warrior or whatever, but like as the actual...
As the villain.
What turns out to be the antagonist, yeah. You got one more.
I have one more.
What do you got?
So the next song I have is Unlikable because it's of its portrayal of women wrapped in saran wrap in the music video. And I know we just talked about this, about like copyright stuff.
Yeah.
This isn't about the copyright stuff. This is about like the gross misogyny.
Is it maybe this? And that's why I'm Yeah.
Ugh, it's so gross. And you're just talking about Pharrell and how you don't like Pharrell. Like, maybe I don't either. Because I'm like looking at him in this video.
I didn't just say I don't like Pharrell. I just
said,
don't
like
that song.
That song, but yeah, you happy. Like Pharrell. This adds some information to that pile.
Musically, I like this song too.
It's
pretty
song.
Gross though. Yeah.
It's just.
It's very rapey.
It's super rapey strong. And yes, it's like the lack of awareness of how non-consensual it is. Like, they're so not even dialed into the fact that it could be problematic. And that's what's gross to me, is so they don't even understand.
This isn't them playing a character that's creepy. It's you think they just don't realize it's creepy.
I think that they just haven't, like, come to realize that that is, like, very toxic, very inappropriate, very creepy, predatory behavior. Especially when you see, like, the video and they're, like, ogling these girls that are naked in one version and then wrapped. The edit is they're wrapped in saran wrap to, like, be less risque.
So I didn't mention this last time. Sometimes I pull clips from Apple Music. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I pull them from YouTube based on what the clip is. And when I pulled the clip for this song on the copyright conversation, I'm like, oh, crap, this video is in my recent history now.
Like, and like, that's
when one of my
right.
kids opens up YouTube on my phone or something, it's fuck, there's gonna be Emily whatever her name is boobs or whatever.
I mean,
up.
And like, the female form is beautiful, there's no body shaming or no judgment here by any means, but the fact that they're commodities to these two men that are very well dressed and just like watching them, they're only there for the male gaze, is
right.
Effing gross. It's really, really gross. And I know that there's other things about this song from copyright and like musicality, but like, it's just the social stuff here is so off-putting to me. And yikes. I want to like Pharrell. I want to like Robin Thicke. Loved Alan Thicke, you know, America's dad. And this is his son, you know, Robin Thicke from Growing Pains.
His dad, he's the guy in Growing Pains.
Is it Growing Pains?
Yeah. I don't remember.
It's that or another
Gen
one.
Gen Xers right in.
But
Alan Thicke's an actor, though, for sure.
Yes,
like,
for sure.
He's a Nepo baby Robin.
Robin
maybe.
Is.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know anything about him except for this song and the copyright stuff, honestly.
And he,
and
like,
criticism.
Actually had, like, abuse allegations and, like, his ex-wife, yeah. okay. like, said gross right. things. But, like, there's a whole character.
He's a whole thing.
He's a whole thing that I want to like the song, but it's just so off-putting.
Well, I feel like I don't want to like the song. I like the song musically, but I don't want to...
Well, that's just
you know,
it.
I don't want to like...
Yeah, it just doesn't understand that women are three-dimensional.
Right.
And that's a drag.
Yes. Well, it understands that they're three-dimensional in the visual sense.
Well, yeah, for sure, three-dimensional, but not in, like, the human sense.
Yeah, I mean curvy, yes.
No, I get it.
So,
yes.
You get it, yeah.
All humans have three dimensions to them.
So, my last one.
Okay.
The award for Bro, Are You Even Listening to Yourself? goes to Usher for Confessions Part 2. Another song I love. To my confession. This gonna be the hardest thing I think I ever had to do. Got me talking to myself, asking how I'm gonna tell you. About that chick on part one, I told y'all I was creeping with. Said she's 3 months pregnant and she's keeping it. The first thing that came to mind was you. Second thing was how... Do you know the song, right?
I don't, but I...
No?
The lyrics are...
Oh my
lot.
God, first, this song is so good.
I'm not like into Usher. I never like... I like Usher, I think.
This song is so good. So it's from 2004. He's got a bunch of hits before that, but this had several, like Caught Up or whatever is on that record. But the album is Confessions, and there's Confessions Part 1, which is a different song.
Okay.
At the beginning, where he's talking about, I'm admitting to you that I'm cheating on you. And then in Confessions Part 2, later in that same album, he finds out that the girl is pregnant.
Oh, gosh.
And so...
So what happens?
What happens is there's a part three that's a Weird Al parody. Oh, have you heard the, no, it's him, sure. It's him apologizing for all the other crap he's done?
Oh, by the way, I wasn't really sick last week. I just didn't want to go to your stupid office picnic. Oh, and when I told you at breakfast we were all out of Rice Krispies, what I meant was there was only enough left for me. Sorry.
But the thing that makes it so douchey, what happens? I don't know. There's no part three
from
Usher.
You like, had that queued up. You're like, I'm ready.
Of course. I had to. The thing that sucks about, like, okay, you cheated on your, we've established that that's kind of villainous behavior if it's not a prearranged agreement or whatever. But the thing about it is that he feels so, and by the way, this is like more based on one of the co-authors and the producer, less Usher's actual life. So Usher's kind of playing a character, but it's sort of biographical from the writer's perspective. He acts like he's doing this noble thing by admitting it.
Mm.
As if, listen to the bridge, this sort of talky part near the end again.
And this by far is the hardest thing I think I've ever had to do. To tell you, the woman I love, that I'm having a baby by a woman that I barely even know. I hope you can accept the fact that I'm man enough to tell you this. And hopefully you'll give me another chance.
Yeah, he is. He does deserve an award for
being man enough. He's asking for like credit for coming clean. He's probably been caught red-handed. Maybe not. Well, he's sort of in the sense that he has a baby on the way. He kind of has to admit it.
Right.
And he's like, could you at least give me credit that I'm man enough to tell you? Oh, yeah, asshole.
Yeah, like, that's narcissistic.
He like had my sympathy. He has my sympathy until that point in the song when he's asking for points for coming clean. It's like, well, I admitted I cheated on the test. Could I get a redo? It's
I admitted I used AI.
Or just don't do the thing
just
that you have to admit.
Just don't do the thing.
So, yeah, I don't know. I love that song. But OMG, pun intended, he's really douchey.
You know what's funny about all six of our choices is that they all deal with love or sex or relationships.
Not the toxic positivity, don't worry, be happy not, one.
But that's the only
I tried to find one that wasn't necessarily.
I didn't even I didn't even recognize that as a trend when I was picking my songs.
I think a lot of songs are about that.
Yeah,
and I think
for sure.
A lot of human fault lies in relationships and how you treat romantic partners or prospective romantic partners.
Mm.
So, and those songs stick out, you know?
Like there aren't a lot of songs about like my husband turning my car on so it warms up when he leaves for the day so I don't have to.
And if he did songs about
like being
my husband wrecked my car and I'm so mad at him, people would either think it was funny or they would think it was made up or something that. People believe the romantic crimes more than they, unless we're talking like NWA lyrics where it's like literal crimes you're describing or whatever.
I wonder if
people latch onto it.
I wonder if there have been any songs, I can't think of any, but you have a better mental catalog than me for sure, of like good role models in romantic relationships. Like, oh, I love my husband. He does all the laundry for the whole family every other day. Is there a song about that?
I don't know about that.
Is there a song about like how I really meal prepped all the food for the family yesterday? And like,
I think
I'm
there are a lot of
it.
Positive romantic songs, but there aren't a lot of positive portrayals of the day-to-day, how do you get through it as a partner. There's a lot of grand, think like the rom-com thing. There's a lot of grand gestures, but the rom-com ends after the grand gesture. It doesn't show the like, here's how we got through the conversation about dishonesty with our 8-year-old daughter, right? Like, or whatever. Like, no, it's about the grand moments and not about who does the meal prep for lunches
life.
The next week.
And it's a life day-to-day is life. where the romance is. Like, do that. See, Sabrina Carpenter actually has a song, as much as I don't like Sabrina Carpenter, on her new album about like just like doing dishes gets her sexually excited. Watching a man like clean the house does it for her.
Little initiative can go a very long, long way. Maybe just do the dishes, I'll give you what you want. A little communication, yes, that's my ideal foreplay. Assemble a chair from IKEA, I'm like, I get wet at the thought of you.
I think a lot of people probably relate to that. But even then, though, that's not real, though, either, right? In the sense that, like, as much as it would be, we've talked about, I like doing dishes, that's my chore.
Mm.
It would be really fun if that got my wife all excited. But at the end of the day, it's got to get done every day. So it can't be a practical motivation for doing that.
No.
Or it can't be a like practical expectation. No, it just needs to be done. You know, anything else on this? How do we wrap this up?
I don't know.
Is there a way we can spin it to academia or podcasting somehow?
Yeah, I do think, like, in our jobs, I find myself sometimes I have to be an unlikable teacher for my students get the job done. Like, do you ever have a class that turns against you? Do you ever have, like, you have every group, like, in your pocket, but there's just one group that, like, there's a lot of chatter, and then you walk in the room and all the chatter stops?
I can think of one key when I was an adjunct faculty years ago in California, a class turned against me. And yeah. I actually learned a hell of a lot in that moment.
You do learn a lot there about, like, I'm very casual in class, but when the class turns against me, I tend to get a little bit tougher on them. And then they learn more because I'm a little bit tougher and more rigid with them.
Interesting.
And it's interesting to, like, play into that trope of being the villain. And get really stern with groups so they learn more. Give them reasons to make up stories about you that are unlikable. I kind of play into the villain trope sometimes as a teacher, and I think it can be really effective in moments if you do it mindfully.
Interesting.
And maybe that's what these artists are doing. It's like Ariana Grande, she might not be a villain, but she's like playing into this villain trope.
Sure. I feel like our personality types are different enough that I feel like I teach freaking music theory. I talk loud. I talk fast. I'm kind of an imposing, dominating personality in a lot of ways when I'm on stage in the classroom. Sure. Like, me playing up the villain isn't going to go right. I have to actually lean towards the opposite usually.
Yeah.
But I find there are some cases professionally where I feel like I'm almost forced into that character role. Like, this happened not that long ago. I give extra credit for students to attend certain school function, like recitals, go support the choir or whatever. But there are some things I don't give extra credit for because it's like, no, just go to this. I encourage you. And this wasn't that long ago. I had a student in one of my classes come up and, like, grade grubby beg that her being at this particular event would get extra credit. But she did it in a way that was, like, in front of everybody and performative that I felt like any amount of me considering and going, you know what? All right, sure, I'll give you a little extra credit for being here. I absolutely had to be, like, hard ass.
Yeah.
Because it was so bizarre that she was making this big show in front of other professors, other students, that I was like, I had to be like, the syllabus says I only, right. Like, I had to be like, and she was like really frustrated with me. And I'm like, just think, like, any chance that I could have been like, you know what? All right, fine. She took that power away from me by doing this big gesture in front of other students in that class and her. And I'm not saying, like, sneaky, but I felt like my hand, and I'm like, I kind of look like a hard ass to the other teachers that are at this recital. But on the other hand, like, the alternative is I look like someone who cows to this grade grubber in front of everybody. It was she boxed me in. It was really annoying.
That is annoying. And I think students don't know that they're doing that when they do stuff like that. That they're, like, painting you into a corner that you have to become villainous. But it happens quite often that, like, you need to save face, or not save face, but just have a certain persona around your bosses and your colleagues that show that you have academic integrity.
Totally.
When if she just came up to you and was like, hey, my grade's really suffering, like, and really humble about it, like, can I get an extra point for, like, going to this thing? You probably would have said yes. But then it becomes, if you say yes to her, you have to say yes to everybody.
Right.
That's my point of view.
Sure.
But
yeah.
No, I think that, you know, sometimes I'm learning that you're the villain in someone else's story, and there's really not much you can do about that. And that has to be okay. And that took me a lot of growth to realize, like, as such, like, a people-pleasing person, that for some students, you are that awful teacher that gave them an F that time.
Right.
When you had so much going on in your life and they just didn't understand. And, like, you have to be okay with it.
One time, a dual enrollment student failed in my class.
Yeah, that's tough.
That means that's a high school student who was only allowed to take classes at my college because they had really strong grades. They deserved an F. They earned the F. I did not give them an F.
Right.
They earned the F. That has real consequences, possibly. The college, the university, or whatever, they might actually transfer after their senior year. Might look very not positively on that F when they probably would have gotten a B or whatever if they just taken a high school class.
They just did the work.
And I am the bad guy in that person's narrative, and that sucks. And I felt really terrible about clicking that button for the final grade, but, like, I have to have some kind of dignity. And there were intervention points. This was, was something that I tried to avert. And I'm the villain.
Sometimes, and you are, and there's nothing you can do to change that person's narration. We're all unreliable narrators of our own story.
Yeah.
And you just kind of have to lean into it.
So. Yeah. Students, if you're going to grade Grub, do it privately. Nevermind the Music is hosted by Nicole Batcher and me, Mark Poppany. I also produce. Please leave us a rating and a review, and don't forget to follow. We're Never Music Pod on social media, and you can also send us an email at nevermusicpod@gmail.com. Nevermind the Music is part of the Lorehounds Network. Join the conversation by going to thelorehounds.com and hop on our Discord server. Thanks for listening.